Soundpoint 8.
In the early part of the 20th century, the marketplace was so much more exciting. It kept open on Thursdays and Saturdays to at least 7 o'clock at night, using large naphtha flares to see by. Many of the adjacent shops, especially ironmongers, would put their goods on display outside their premises. Another attraction were all the active sales promotions and demos going on. A lady selling potato peeling knives who would throw the potato in the air and catch it and peel it as it came down. A man selling glass cutters who would draw complex shapes on the glass and then cut it out in front of you, all highly skilled people. Another Thursday afternoon, wandering home via the market, as always, I stopped to gawk at a Romany gypsy and his wife outside the Angel Inn. They looked fantastic in their national costume and were selling soap. The patter was that they had made this soap using a very old and secret Romany recipe, which gave it a special cleansing and healing properties. In the middle of his outpouring, he pointed to me and said, "Come here a minute, sonny, and roll up your sleeve," which I did. Aged about 10 years old, I was too frightened not to. He then took hold of my arm and started rubbing this soap on it until it produced a fine lather. The next chat was, "I will now show you the power of my soap, which has now been absorbed totally into his body, and here's the proof. Roll up your other sleeve, sonny." Having then taken my other arm and using his same hand, rubbed until a fine lather was produced from the residual soap on his hand. By this time, I was well scared, and when his back was turned, I ran home as fast as I could. Needless to say, I was worried for several days about the effect of this stuff going round inside me.
Market day on a Thursday. Very, very busy. You only got to look at the old photographs to see how busy the market was. There were three men that I know used to come from Leicester every Thursday. There was Walkers with the ladies' stockings and Jack Spencer. He used to come on a Wednesday afternoon and he took over the coaching horses in Butcher's Row so Mr. and Mrs. Crisp could have a night out, like. Then the main man who came in a Rolls Royce was Marks, and all he sold was Jaffa oranges or grapefruit. But he never touched them because Wally Gardner brought them up on a horse and cart from the station. And he used to come in his Rolls Royce with his wife and his wife's sister. And he'd stop there till he sold out and that was it. He was gone. But he never came back after the war. This was in the 30s. Sometimes he had a boy there. If the boy served you, it was 10 a shilling. But if the ladies started to pick them, it was only 6 a shilling. See? 6 or 10 for a shilling. But it was a proper character because he got a big Rolls Royce. Like, it come as a hobby, I think, that was all. The market was absolutely busy then. Well, it was open from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock at night, you see. Got paraffin flares, like. And then the light in the middle of the market was a big gas lamp. Tony Warren, the fishman, trusses, Woodles with the bananas, Gascoigne with fruit, and also Dick Mead, who was putting the stores up. He'd only got one arm, like. People put their own stores up in those days, like. But after the war, a company put the stores up. Well, in 1927, that was Cohen, Jack Cohen. He stood behind the Prudential buildings in the square there and sold his Ponish bacon off a Model T Ford with just ordinary oil lamps, like no protection in the front. It was all open, the old Model T Ford was. He went on to be boss of Tesco's, he did, in the finish. Yeah. And of course, all the carrier's carts as well around, you see, who'd claim in from the villages.
By the time I was 14, it's wartime, so we were queuing for everything. And there was one store used to come and it got a lot of bomb damage, underwear, Celanese, which we couldn't have afforded anyway, but it was wet and sooty. and I think we got them for about 1 and 6 months and half grouping when you got them home, washed them then. Cammy knickers were the thing then, yes.
When I was a boy, the marketplace was absolutely packed. Things were rationed, and so whoever had anything to sell could come to the marketplace and be sure of a ready sale. There used to be things sold here which aren't sold today. In 1940s, there were so many more stalls, but the stalls were of people who came regularly. You knew exactly who was who. Where I'm standing at the moment was Rocky Leach's stall, a chap that had a shop behind the town hall, and he used to sell this special rock of his, and a chap was forever shouting out, "It's the talk of the town, talk of the town." He used to sell watches and trinkets, and people knew exactly who would be in the market and where. Stall holders would start to pack up, well, in the winter they'd start to pack up when it got really dark. A lot of the shopping in those days was done on spec. I'm popping down the market to see what there is about. Many times we came down to Lampreys, that was near the town hall, to try to get our chicken feed ration, because we gave up our egg ration to get chicken feed. I can remember that the marketplace was a mix of people putting their goods out onto the pavement in front, stalls all pitched higgledy-piggledy, and an enormous amount of stalls.
When I was about 19, I got myself a job working for Banbury Borough Council, and I worked for the Treasury, and under the umbrella of the Treasury came the Market Superintendent. And in those days, the Market Superintendent was a Mr. Jack Frost. He was always very well known in the town, and on Thursdays and Saturdays he could always be found going around the marketplace, checking up, making sure everybody was sticking by the rules and keeping the place as it should be kept. He was a very well-known figure by all the market holders and all the town folk from the 60s.
Before I left school, when I was 13, 14, when I'd come out of school, I used to come up to the marketplace. I used to help the man. He had trousers and jackets. He come from the East End of London. That was Ron. He was Jewish. I used to help him pack up every night because he got to go back to London. So I used to watch his stall as well. Spent all day Saturday there watching his stall while he went off. He used to regularly go off for his break, or he was always in the milk bar chatting to the other stall holders. I was expected to run down to the milk bar if I thought somebody was genuinely interested in a jacket or a pair of trousers, and he would come out.
In October, Banbury Fair came to town, and the fair took up all of the marketplace and other parts of town as well. On Tuesday at exactly 12 noon, the large rides would appear and would start to be erected. And we used to watch the employees building those rides. And it was rather alarming to see how they propped up the rides with all manner of things, beer crates, bits of wood and strange objects, to get the ride level.
Going back to the market, I can also remember there used to be a coal porter. This was a man who sold biblical paraphernalia, text cards and Bibles and hymn books. It was a busy place. It used to operate on a Thursday and a Saturday. And the Thursday, people would congregate and probably meet and then not see each other and meet again the next week or the next month.
Here in the town of Banbury, and God save the Queen!